So one of the questions that come up regarding Inyanei Kvura is actually before the burial, the issue of an autopsy. What does Judaism feel about autopsies? So as a general rule, there's an issur of nivel hames. There's a general rule of desecrating the body. We're against it. It's a biblical prohibition. In fact, you don't have to wait till one dies to violate nivel hames. Well, maybe nivel hames you have to wait till you die for. But there's a biblical prohibition, nivel hachai. You're not allowed to damage someone else. And in fact, you're not allowed to damage them. I can't cut off my finger if I feel like it, or cause damage to your body either. That applies, because ultimately it's a gift from God that he gave us rights over a body to use and not abuse. So therefore, generally speaking, even when you're alive, there are many issues. In fact, there's a piece in Rav Zevin's book, Or LaHalacha, where he talks about the Mishpat Shylock. He gives a hypothetical, the case if you go back with Shylock, am I allowed to give a pound of flesh, assuming? So that's a whole discussion in general, whether one is allowed to cause damage to themselves. So Rav Moshe has a tshuva about if it's for toelis, based on the Rambam. The Rambam writes only if it's causing harm. So a lot of times, if you not in that situation, but in terms of, let's say, whether it's the question of plastic surgery or something else, where at different times in order to get the result. So the Rambam's question is, if it's derek bizayon, derek nisayon, it's in a case of a negative thing, but if it's a case where it's a, so then there's what to discuss. So that's why, that's by a chai, but by a mace, so it's clear that in Judaism we're very strict against all things being equal, we're against autopsies. However, like any rule, there are always some exceptions to the rule, or usually. So when would it be permitted to do an autopsy? These are the two basic heterim, two basic rules generally when it's permitted. Number one is let's say someone was murdered, and the only way you could get the murderer in jail or prison or whatever they're going to do to him or her is by doing an autopsy and prove it. Legally speaking, the only way you're going to be the general rule of thumb, why is doing an autopsy considered a problem? Because you're desecrating the dead. So the whole concept is nivel hames, is desecrating the dead. In a case where desecrating the dead becomes kavod hames, then it's permitted. So what greater bizayon, disgrace to the person? You're letting the person, you're going to let the murderer go because some legal technicality, I can't do an autopsy. It's a much bigger bizayon hames. First of all, tikkun olam. You can't have a murderer going around killing other people. That's number one. But even if he wasn't, the fact that let your murderer go free, that's the bigger kavod hames by putting him behind bars. So that's one clear cut. If the only way to put the murderer or someone like that behind bars, so then that's considered kavod hames, and that's why it's permitted. That's one exception. Another exception to the rule is, what's the other exception to the rule?
If a person who's in a medical situation where there's already like a flag or something that's going on.
Very good, yeah. He's alluding to
two people, but they're befana, though.
Yeah, the nose, he's obviously talking about the Noda B'Yehuda, the famous landmark truth of the Noda B'Yehuda, and how far it extends then and how far it extends today. Another case is, let's say, two people, one person shows up in the hospital, I guess with some infectious disease, and not uncommon today, and they try everything, whatever, that's it, he dies. And then 5 minutes later, someone walks in, looks like a similar symptoms. And so then the Noda B'Yehuda writes, when you have a chola mi'ofanav, if you have a chola, another sick right in front of you. So, what in front of you means during his time and this time could be two totally different things we'll get into today with modern technology. But the concept is, in other words, to go ahead and do an autopsy for the sake of science in general, so then we're against not necessarily theologically, we're practically, because there's too much abuse in the system and we don't know what's actually going to happen. So therefore, when they set up the rules, they didn't want to set it up where it's too easy to abuse it, and therefore you're not going to get it's not going to be a covenant made at the end. So you know, nothing works 100% of the time, but basically, and in fact, if it doesn't work, it's okay. That's not the problem. But if it's a cholom ilofan, if you have someone with a similar thing, and the only way to save this person who walked in's life is to do an autopsy and try to figure it out. So again, it's no longer nivel hameis. The reason why we're not saying nivel hameis is mutter, we're saying that's not nivel hameis, that is covered hameis. And therefore, Jeff.
Sorry, the concretion of donating organs, that's another discussion.
Question of what?
Donating organs.
Yeah, that we could get to.
Another discussion. Perhaps.
Yeah. Could be connected, but yeah. But therefore, the Noda Yehuda writes, if you have a chol milofan, if you have a chol in front of you, so therefore that's considered a tzara, that's considered a need, and therefore it's a mitzvah to do an autopsy in order to go ahead and be able to, the biggest mitzvah, pikuach nefesh, of saving lives, yeah?
The shiloh that I'm adding, is it that we're worried about, is it covered a mace, or is it the fact that we have a cholish that's like that, we could actually do pikuach nefesh, but that's dependent on, so how does that, is,
you know,
it,
so
mace, is,
that's,
it, is it the label that's covered a mace, or is it based on the fact that there's pikuach nefesh that's sort of...
Yeah, so either, right, so number one is, even let's say if it wasn't, it could be pikuach nefesh is docha. That's a separate discussion. The binyan seat, it's a Rashi in Shas, but are you allowed to steal someone else's money in order to save someone else without permission, of course?
Robin Hood scenario.
Yeah, well, yeah, the question is, yeah, whether, right, the question is whether Robin, some people claim Robin actually stole from the government and the taxes they owed them and gave it. It's a very misunderstanding. People think he stole from the rich and gave to the poor. Some people have an agenda like selling that story. But according to what I read, but they stole from the government who they were stealing. So either way, the point being is, so over here, that's the Rashi talks about, are you allowed to like steal mamon chavero? You're allowed to steal someone else's money to save someone's life, your own life. So again, without permission. So we assume, yes, you are. But of course, you have to pay it back. You give back the money later. But then if a pikuach nefesh, we say save the big three. Save if it's not, as long as you're not worshiping idols, murdering someone, etc. And, you know, Gila Raya, so therefore we assume it's okay. So therefore, well, we could get into what the Lumdis is, whether even if it wasn't covered, either you could say that is covered on mace. What greater covered on mace than saving someone's life? Who wouldn't want that? And even if it wasn't, perhaps it would be mutter anyway, because Pikuach, the question is, he wouldn't be mechuyev in it because he's not chayev in mitzvahs anymore. He wouldn't, you know, the person who's dead is, but I'm saying, so whatever, so either way, the person's dead already, he's not chayev in any mitzvah. So from that angle, but it's covered ameis, because if it's covered ameis to save one person, then it should be covered ameis, honor to the dead. In other words, the reason why you can't do an autopsy is because it's considered nivel ameis. It's like it's causing harm to the ameis. You're cutting up the body. It's disgracing it. But in these cases, the bigger picture, whether it's a cholam yofanav, you're saving someone's life, or they're putting the murderer away. Those are all considered covered ameis. So we have a similar principle, well, throughout Shas. But I'll give you another example in the realm of kfura. We know in Judaism, Jewish law, we try to do the burial as quickly as possible. In Eretz Yisrael, they even do it the same day. They'll even do it at night. There's a special prohibition leaving a body over in Eretz Yerushalayim, and let's say they're very quick there. They usually do it on the same day. But, you know, Chutz La'aretz, we're not as quick, and depending, you can't always get the Chevra Kaddish, whatever the cases are, you're waiting for the people to come in. But, so therefore, we always try to do it as quickly as possible, you know, within reason. So obviously, if the kids are away on vacation, we'll be back in 3 months, so we don't wait for them. But assuming they're making an honest effort to come, I'm not saying we won't wait for them even if it was, but you might not have a choice, because legally, but in terms of a Jewish law perspective, then that's considered a bizoy to the parents. But let's assume they're coming from Israel, far away, it takes time to get there, so that's just the practice, so we wait. Why? Because generally speaking, doing a kfur as soon as possible is considered honor to the dead, because we believe the quicker the body decomposes, the quicker the atonement. That's the Mishnah in Sanhedrin. So therefore, we try to get the kfura done as quickly as possible. but within reason. So, but we assume it's a bigger honor to the dead to wait for the kids. It will be bizarre, you know, like to have a kfura, no one's there, and there's no family. So we wait for the family to come in, the children to come in. So it's the same idea where it's all kfura being done earlier is kavod ames. However, certain cases, to wait a little bit, within reason, we make it a little later. That's the kavod ames. You have more people coming, but especially the issue, you know, that the family is there. So that's the same concept. Everything's over. It's all about giving honor to the dead. Normally, honor to the dead is the quick burial, but under certain scenarios, waiting a little bit, delaying the funeral a little bit, is considered kavod ames, sabe?
Kavod ames versus kavod chai, like for the family. So then it's a shiloh between, like, so the family who's, like, you know, so they're going to take their time, they're on their way, that's what they're on their way, however long it takes them to get there. So, but when we're looking at the two of them, do they pull equal weight? I mean, kavod for the family, because saying Kaddish, is it for the family or is it for the mace? Is it like for the children or the mace? Like, who's giving, when you're saying Hesed, is it for the covet of mace?
Right, that's the Gemara in Sanhedrin, member of Amabay. So the Gemara says Kfura, who's Kfura for? Is Kfura basically covet of mace or covet of chai? Is it honor to the living or honor? What's the practical difference? So the Gemara says, number one, who's obligated to pay for it? In terms of, does it have to come out of the Yerut? Like, if it's covet, if it's for the people alive, so it's their responsibility. If it's covet amaze, it comes from, or the Gemara talks, like, let's say a person says, I don't want to be buried, or I don't want a eulogy. So the Gemara comes to two different conclusions. Regarding eulogy, one has a right to, you don't have much control over these things, assuming your kids are going to listen to you, or whoever the POA is. But the halacha is, on a eulogy, one can forego. Certainly, unless you're like a melech, you're the gadol hador, like we had, it's like with Steinman, you know, see, it happens all the time. They leave no eulogies, and then everyone gives a eulogy. So, but, the, you know, I was destroyed with the no debi, I think it was the Pnei Yehoshua, maybe no debi Huda, I forgot, assuming they're right, that one left the, in the Savan no eulogy, the other one said, it's not your, it's covered at Torah, I'm not listening to you. So, but just, unless you're like a major figure, so then we generally assume, among Hasidim, I don't think they do eulogies anyway, because they hold they don't know how to do eulogies, so therefore they don't do eulogies anyway. And we have different customs maybe on Rosh Chodesh, Purim, but generally speaking, and even then, we don't call it a eulogy, but we say something. We just give praise of the mace. We don't actually, like on my mother's, it was Purim Katan, so technically speaking, no eulogies. So I just spoke about my mother. I didn't give a eulogy. So the point being is that when it comes to these areas, so therefore that's the whole discussion. But by eulogies, we assume you can forego, strictly speaking, and kfura, we assume no. That's the whole question. Because the Rambam writes ain shomim lo. The Rambam writes, you know, it's a big case going on in Eretz Yisrael now. And I don't know if it's over. It's from the Supreme Court. Yeah, with the Supreme Court. Did it conclude yet, or it's still going on? I don't know.
The Rabbanim were white-ring letters.
Yeah.
The comment about autopsies. So there's far less pressure now. So when I was a resident 40 years ago, part of your duty when a patient died was you asked the family for an autopsy. That was just part of normal.
Right.
Now it just doesn't happen.
It doesn't ask, or you just do it, or
you don't ask.
It happens automatically.
No, it doesn't happen. There's much less.
Must have got your autopsies today?
Yeah. So now they're only done if it's a coroner's case and it's a murder right. Or something. So the times have changed.
Oh, you're saying no matter every mace that had an autopsy,
you have to ask. And now the residents, because they're
exactly,
the
ones
in hospitals.
Exactly, yeah. Correct. If a 95-year-old dies, you're not going to do an autopsy. It's only a foul place. Yeah. 100%. And let me just point out another factor. It's not that autopsies are usher. It's what you do, what you have to do. So there are ways of minimizing the nib. So today with modern technology, you might know better than me, give it 5 years, 10 years, or 20, autopsies could be 100% mutter because you could do it with the cameras. Like, the issue is causing a bizarion to the mace to get it, it's only autopsy because cut up the, but soon with cameras and other things, there'll probably be a way to do autopsies without bizarion on mace. then there's nothing. It's a win-win. We're not against autopsies. We're against the rule is we're against the desecrating the dead. If you can do an autopsy without bizarre mace, then why not?
So in that situation, cheating like with 3D, like with like sort of modern technology, being able to do it without. So just as far as the person who's, so if the family is mocked that they don't want an autopsy, and the hospital is saying because of the, that situation of let them know the viewer brings, it says that there's potentially an outbreak that's going
right.
on. We need to find out exactly what we can do to save the people who are coming to come in. So how do we deal with that family that is going against even
how often. Right, so I assume you encourage, well,
also
you encourage the family, it depends why aren't they doing it. Are they doing an autopsy?
Because they hold this bizarre
mace. Right, so then you have to explain to them that it's not bizarre mace. It's the same thing like someone says they don't want to be buried. So legally speaking, I can't stop them from doing a cremation, right. But I'll explain to them, if you're Jewish law, this is the tradition, and you hope for the best. And ultimately, we're not in a society. Well, if we maybe we had a base, then we can't. I'm talking about today. We can't. You'll go to jail. You don't have to go to jail to do. In other words, today we don't. It's not an hour. We don't. You're right. If base didn't have the control, so maybe kofin also. But I'm saying, in general, kofin also. I my rotsani. But we assume a yid wants to do the right thing. The pinto. Yeah. But I'm talking about zman hazeh. We don't have that power. So all you could do is try to encourage the person, educate, and say, you know, like some. I've had cases. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Just even having a Jewish burial, so you have to, because we don't. Ultimately, we don't have the control. So we're, and it's not, and that's something you go to. You don't violate the law over it or go to jail for it. That's not.
That's so it doesn't go that far.
No, I mean it's not really my mitzvah anyway. I have to try to encourage the person. You know, you do everything you can to try to get them to go.
Thanks, Rabbi. Thank you.
Remember, Tuesday morning.
I'll try to make it if I'm not going.